this series and other series that we've done, hundreds of them, are on the web, on our website. And I just wanted to make sure everybody was aware of that, and also television audience and YouTube and whatever else is watching. But at www.lifegatechurch.com, there's over nearly 800 sermons on there. So anything you want is at www.lifegatechurch.com. You can find anything on there that you want to. Not just me, but everybody else that's spoken here as well. So that's available to you. And also on YouTube, not YouTube, Facebook. If you're looking for us on Facebook, it's LifeGate, two words, LifeGate Church. Go to Facebook, look for LifeGate Church, and you'll find us on Facebook. All right, we're talking about pride. Pride. Now, this isn't the good pride, the pride that we have where we're proud for someone or proud for the accomplishments of other. This is the depraved pride. This is the pride that God hates. This is the pride that will cause you damage in your life. This is the pride that will cause you disgrace in your life. This is the pride that will destroy your life. And this is why God hates it. So let me read to you a verse that we read last time, because I want to work that into what we're going to be talking about this time. In Proverbs 16:18, it says this, pride goes before what? Destruction. Destruction. If you have pride in your life, you are heading for destruction. And then here's the part that we really capitalize, and I want to weave this into this week's as well. A haughty what? A haughty spirit. You got to see that. Pride is a spirit. It's a haughty spirit. A haughty spirit before a fall. Now, we normally don't think of pride as being a spirit, but if you're a prideful person, you have a spirit on you, in you, and it will control you. We recognize it in other people, the other people that are arrogant people, other people that are conceited people, other people that are snooty, other people that are puffed up, other people that are vain. We recognize that in them, because when we get around them, whatever we've got, they've got better. Whatever we know, they know more, right? Whatever clothes we wear, they got better clothes. Whatever abilities we have in our lives, they've got better abilities. Whatever possessions we have, car we drive, the house we live in, they've got better. Whatever family we've got, their kids are better than our kids. You know, they've accomplished more. And whatever success we've had, they've got more success. And we sense that with them, and it repulses us. It repels us, but it pushes us back from them. What is that thing you sense? What is that thing you feel? It's that haughty spirit of pride. And we can recognize it like that when somebody else, but do you think they can recognize it in us? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so this is what I want. That's that spirit of pride that gets into us, and it controls us. It's a negative spirit. It's a wicked spirit. It's an evil spirit, and God hates it. God hates it. Now, there is no spirit that is more opposed to the Spirit of God than the spirit of haughty pride. Nothing. It's opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's opposed to Father God. It's opposed to the Holy Spirit of God. And it's because they hate it, because it does such destruction in our lives and such damage and causes us disgrace. And this is the point that I really want to work on this time, is the disgrace that it brings into our life. So let's read another scripture in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2. It says this, when pride comes, then comes what? Disgrace. When pride comes, now let's ingest this passage. It's an amazing passage if we'll just let it work into us. What does pride bring into my life? When pride comes into my life, what does it bring with it? Disgrace. You see that? Okay. Then here's what I really am after today. Then comes disgrace, but with humility comes what? Wisdom. What does humility bring into my life? Have you ever thought about that? See, it's like with pride, we don't think of pride being a spirit. But neither do we think of humility being wisdom. We think of humility being somebody who's weak. Somebody who can't take care of themselves. No, that's the wisest person you know. There's a wisdom that comes with humility. It's a polar opposite. Humility is polar opposite to pride. Polar opposite. What pride does for all of us is make us do dumb things. Pride causes us to be dumb. Now, it doesn't tell you that. What pride tells you is that I'll make you great. You can lie about this because you're too proudful to admit the truth. You can lie about your education, or you can lie about your family, or you can lie about your finances. You can lie, and you think it's making you better. That's what pride tells you. It makes you greater. No, it's going to bring you disgrace. You can lie. You can cheat because you're too proud to lose. But what's going to happen is it's eventually going to bring you disgrace. It tells you it's going to make you great, but it can't make you great. It can just bring you disgrace. What will make you great in life is humility. With humility comes wisdom. And when wisdom comes into your life, wisdom brings you the knowledge, the ability, the wisdom to have greatness in your life, to have a great life. This is what I want us to see. But here's what I want you to see is don't tell anybody, because this is a secret. The world doesn't know this. See, it's a secret. It's a treasure. But if you can learn this secret today, it's going to change our lives. It's going to cause a greatness to come forth out of you. This is what it does for every single one of us. Now, the world goes after pride. The world goes after the lie. The world goes after thinking that the pride is going to make it great. And let me read this to you. It's in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. It says this: "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." That's what the world offers. Other translations write it as the boastful pride of life. In other words, it's that haughty thing. The world wants that haughty spirit of pride. They go after that. "And the pride of life is not of the Father." Pride is not of God. That is not of God. He does not want us to be haughty and boastful like that. He wants us to be humble and people of humility. But it is of the world. It is of the world. Now, the world thinks one way, we're to think another. The world lives one way, we're to live another. They go after this, we don't go after that. And making a decision to follow Jesus Christ, the wisest decision that you can ever make in life, making a decision to follow Jesus Christ is also making a decision to not follow pride. You're turning away from pride and the disgrace that it will bring you. If you follow Jesus Christ and follow His teachings, you will not experience the destruction and the disgrace that pride brings with it. Let me see if I can communicate it with you. Have you ever had pride to rise up in you, and you get haughty, and you blow off, and you go off on someone, and it just backfires in your face? And maybe your supervisor comes to you at work, and they want to correct you with something that you're doing incorrect, and this spirit of pride rises up in you. "You're not going to talk to me like that. Who do you think you are? You take this job and take this job, and I'm out of here. I'm out of here. You know, I don't need you." Pride has just made you do a dumb thing. It just cost you your job. Some of you guys can recognize what I'm about to say. Pride will cost you a broken nose. You know, we have people working for us or with us or whatever, and we're paying them to do something. And we get haughty with them. We're going to get the last word, and we're going to get the last dig in. Then when we get the bill, it's twice what we thought it was going to be, because pride will cost you. But what if you walked in humility? What if you walked in the wisdom of humility here? And your boss comes to you, and you say, "Okay, yes, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. I'll take care of it." And you use wisdom instead. Now, you know, you've rather than experiencing disgrace of being unemployed and getting terminated, you've had some wisdom here. Rather than having a broken nose and getting in a fight and having to pay the medical bills, you've avoided that because of wisdom and walking in humility. See, pride causes us to do dumb stuff. Dumb stuff, I'm telling you. Judy and I were coming back from seeing our daughter Bonnie, who lives in Sandy Springs. We were coming back and come up 75, got off at Resac, and we were coming down 136. And I thought I had my cruise control set on 10 miles over the speed limit. But the sheriff said that it was 11 miles over the speed limit. Now, I know, I repent. Now, I'm a preacher. I shouldn't even be telling you this story. So when he walks up to my window, I roll the car window down, and he said, "Sir, I clocked you on radar doing 11 miles over the speed limit." I said, "No, I wasn't." I said, I know what speed I was going." He steps back and he says, "Sir, I was only going to give you a warning." But if you want to argue about this, I'll be more than happy to write you a citation, and you and I can discuss it in front of the judge. Now, listen. When pride comes, also comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Now, you don't think this old boy was backtracking? You don't think this old boy was crawfishing? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to sound like a smart aleck. I'm sorry. I want you to know, you know, that I got the warning. But you know, I want you to, but the thing is that, you know, we do dumb things because this haughty spirit of pride whelms up within us, and we've got to get that last dig in. We just got to say something. We got to do something, right? Children, listen to me, children. Young people, listen to me. If you really want what you want from your parents, if you want your parents to do what you're asking them to do, don't pitch a fit. Don't let that haughty spirit of pride cause you to lay on the floor and do a screaming thing and you know, get all upset with your parents and puff off. No, you say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. And it will work for you all through life because there is a shh, it's a secret. It's a secret of wisdom and humility. And you're going to be far more likely to get what you want from mom and dad or from anyone else in your life if you can learn this secret and begin to live this secret out in your life. Now, Jesus taught against pride and the spirit of pride by teaching a radical humility. I'm going to say it again. Jesus taught against pride by teaching a radical humility. He said, if you will do it this way, the way I'm telling you to do it, if you'll use this secret that I'm going to tell you, if you'll use this secret in your life, what it will do is it will handle pride. It will handle the power of pride and its ability to cause you destruction in your life and cause you disgrace in your life. And this awful spirit of pride, this haughty spirit of pride, this wicked spirit of pride will not control you. And you're going to have a blessed and a great life. So what I want to do is I want to show you the teaching that Jesus gave us, this radical teaching that Jesus taught that combats pride. It's in the book of Mark. Now, Jesus taught this several times. His disciples, his apostles, were kind of prideful. And they were always arguing about who was the greatest. And so Jesus kind of talks to them. Now, in this particular case, in Mark, he's not doing that here. He's just telling them something. And I want to show you this. So in Mark chapter 10 and verse 42, it says this. Jesus called them together and said. Now, I want you to get a picture. So take that down just a second. I want you to understand what he's doing here. He called them together. He said, come here, guys. Come here, guys, come here. I want you to get around me. I want to tell you something. It's a secret. I want you to know about this. Come here. So he gets them all around him. And so he called them together, and then he said. Now let's pick it up from there. I just want you to see. He's wanting them to get this secret, this thing he wants them to know. He said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, rulers of the world, this is what the world chases, this rulers of the world lord it over them. So he's talking about rulers here and then the people that are under them. So the rulers are here, and then he goes on and he says, and the high officials exercise authority over them. So you have the rulers, and then you have the high authorities over them, and then he's showing the pecking order of the world and how they operate in the world. But then he says this, not so. Here's the secret. Not so with you. Instead, it's that polar opposite thing. He's taking the thing and he's completely flipping it around, walking the different way that the world walks. And he says, here's how it really works. Here's the secret. Listen up, he says. Listen up. Here's what I want you to get this. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. What's he saying? He's saying the servant is greater than the one he's serving. If you want to be great, then serve somebody. And then he goes on and he says, and whoever wants to be first, if you really want to get in first place, if you really want to be at the top of the list, if you really, really, really want to be great, he said, do this, must be slave, not servant, but slave of how many? Of all. What's he telling us? What's he telling us? If you want to be great, just serve people. But if you really want to be great, serve everybody. Serve everyone. And he uses two Greek words, two different Greek words here. He uses the word that's translated for servant, diakopoulos, and then he also uses doulos for the word slave. It's two different thoughts. serve if you want to be great, but if you really want to be great, serve everybody. Find a way to serve everybody. Then he goes on. He says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Even, he said, even the Son of Man, even me, even the Christ, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What Jesus is saying here is, I'm going to give my life for this. I'm going to give my life for serving. And if you really want to know the secret to greatness, it's serving. So Jesus says the world has a pecking order, but so does the kingdom of God. It's just absolutely reversed. It's just totally different. It's looking at things from a different, totally different perspective. It's in reverse mode. And Jesus says, this is the secret. This is a secret. It's not what the world operates in. It's not the way the world sees it. And if you'll take this secret and you utilize it in your life, it's going to cause you to have a great life. It's going to cause you to really excel and exceed in life. Now, folks, I want to tell you, this really works. This really, really works. Don't get haughty at work. Serve at work. I promise you, it's going to help you. It's going to cause you. Don't. And if you really want to do well in life, find a way to serve a lot of people. Not just at work. Serve your family. Serve your friends. Find somebody, someplace to serve. And he says, that's going to put you in first place in the eyes of God. And God is going to bless your life in such an abundant way. Now, what the world does. The world in its pride, and what pride does, is it's condescending. It's like up. And it looks down on people. It finds a way to use people. It finds a way to condescend and make the person who is prideful appear to be better than. But what Jesus is teaching us here, and what humility is looking at it from a different perspective. It's like looking up at people, but not as they're your superiors, but from a different perspective and from a different position. And what we see, instead of looking down, what we see looking up is we see the worth of people. We see the value of people. We see the potential of people. And we don't use people. We want to help people. And it's a totally different concept. This is what he's saying. Getting this perspective. And it's far easier, isn't it, to help somebody when you see their worth, when you see their value, when you see the potential in somebody. You want to help them. It causes you to want to help them when you look at it from this perspective. And, you know, we used all those things last time where pride hides behind. Say, for example, clothing. We talked about clothing. When you're prideful and you look at somebody's, the way they dress, maybe they dress, you know, sort of shabbily. Maybe they can't afford nice clothes, or their clothes are old, torn, dirty, or whatever. And you look down at them. You look down at them, and you don't want to have them in your life. You shut them out of your life. You put yourself in a prison. You can't fellowship with them. You can't love them. They can't love you. You don't want anything to do. You don't want your children playing with those dirty kids. You don't want them dirty kids coming into your house. So you look down at them. But what you do, and what Jesus is talking about it here, in humility, the wisdom of humility, is you look up. And instead of looking down and condemning them, you're saying, how can I help them? You know, can I buy them some clothes? Do we have some clothes that we can give them? How can I serve them? Where is it that I can help see their potential, or I can help see their what they need in life? How can I really minister to them? Judy and I, years ago, we would go down to a ministry. And we loved the ministry, and we loved specifically one of the ministers, and it was a woman. And they didn't have a lot of money. They were minimal. They didn't have a lot of money. And we wanted to do something nice for her. And we asked her, we discussed it, we asked her, said, can we take you shopping? Can we just take you and buy you some clothes? Sure. So we took her and let her pick her out some clothes, whatever. And we weren't looking down. We weren't trying to be haughty about that. What we were trying to do was bless her because we saw the potential. We saw the value. We saw the worth of this person. And this is the difference of what Jesus is saying. We talked about, you know, in our lives that our possessions cause us to be prideful. We have a nice house, we have a nice car, and those that don't have a nice house or a nice car or nice things, we look down on them. That's pride. And Jesus says, no, find a way to serve them. Find a way. What can you do for somebody who doesn't have what you have? How can you serve them? We talked about the abilities. All of us have abilities, but some of us have better abilities than others. And abilities will cause us to look down at somebody because they don't know what we know. They can't do what we do. So we condescend upon them if we're prideful people. But if we're people of humility, and we understand the wisdom of humility, we look up at them. What can I do to help you obtain better abilities? Can I take some time and show you some things I know? Can I train you? Can I help you? Can I get you some courses? What can I do to help you and to serve you? And Jesus says, if you'll do that, then what Lord's going to do is He's going to bless you. We talked about family. You know, we have a great family. Our children are good and everything's going well in our lives. But we have a tendency to look down at other families who aren't doing so well. Maybe the daughter got pregnant. Maybe the son's on drugs. Maybe the home had a bankrupt. And we look down at them. We can't fellowship with them. We don't want them into our home. We don't want to play with them. We don't want our children with them. We don't want to fellowship with them. So we build a prison. We shove them out. And by so doing, we're shoving God out. But what humility does? What can I do for that girl? What can I do for that pregnant girl? How can I bless her life? This should be an important time in her life, not a humiliated time in her life. What can I do for this young man who's addicted to drugs? Can I get him some rehab? Can I help him do something there? Can I help support him? And what can I do for this family that's bankrupted? Can I help them pay a bill? Can I give them some financial guidance? What can I do here to help them? Can I get them groceries? Where can I serve them? Find a place to serve, Jesus said. And don't just be specific. Serve everybody. So whatever you see in need, jump in and serve it. This is what the Lord is teaching us and telling us. How about you know, our education? Education is a place where we look down at people. We have better education, and so someone doesn't have the education we have and cannot use the vocabulary that we use. And so we talk about them, and we look down on them, and we make fun of them. What should we do? What would humility do? What does he say? You help the people. Get them some courses. Help them. Train them. Do something. But don't look down. Find a way to serve them. Lift them up. See the potential that's in them. See the abilities that are within them. See the value that's there. Don't look down. Success. Success is another area of life where we look down on people. They don't have the success we have. They're minimal. And look what I make. Look how far I've gone up. Well, that's from here. That's from pride. But if you're working in humility and you're looking up from the way Jesus is saying, wanting to serve the people, if you'll move from that perspective, it totally changes. Totally changes. If you're so hot, if you're so successful, then you should be able to pull some strings. Then you should have some doors. You should be a divine appointment for this person. You should be able to get them in some place that will help them. So this is what Jesus is teaching us. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who are you serving? Who have you ever served? Other than yourself and maybe your family, what have you ever done for anyone? Where are you really? Are you up here with a haughty spirit of pride? Or are you doing what Jesus said with a secret? What do you want from God? He will bless your life if you can learn this secret. The wisest thing you or I could ever do is find a way to serve people. Even if the person is somebody you don't like, maybe even somebody you dislike badly, maybe someone you're mad at, and is maybe mad at you, it's still the wisest thing you can do. It will reconcile. I want to talk about that next time, but it will reconcile the whole situation. Oh, Delbert, you don't understand. You know, this person hates me. I know. Serve them. You don't understand, Delbert. No. They made me mad, and it was their fault. Oh, I understand. I understand that totally. Serve them. No, Delbert. You don't get it. You don't get it. They don't want me around. I know. Find a way to serve them. I understand perfectly. Let me try to make this applicable for all of us. Say you and your spouse got in a really fuss fight. I mean, you were letting it roll. And if you've been married more than 2 weeks, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you were mad. And he or she was mad. and you said bitter things, mean things, hurtful things, and you meant them to hurt. You meant them to be bitter. And that spirit of pride rolled up. Who do you think you are talking to me like that? I'll tell you a thing or two. And man, it was bad. You go to bed at night, you don't look at each other, you don't talk to each other, you just roll over and go to sleep, get up the next morning, don't talk to each other, don't speak to each other, go to work. Now, what do you do? What do you do? All right. Rather than him, the husband, lording it over her. And I heard, you know, well, she should submit to me. I'm the husband. You know, she's supposed to. That's what the Bible says. I got so sick of hearing that one time. I'm just telling you. Listen, sir, you should be the leader. You should be the leader in how to fix this thing and how to reconcile this thing. Don't make her submit to you. You take the lead. So what if he took the lead? What if he goes instead and he gets a box of candy and some flowers and goes and gets a card and he writes in the card, "Darling, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I apologize. I apologize." Now, don't put in there, "but if you had not." Don't do that. That's just jabbing again. No, don't do that. "I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I love you so much." And he brings that home instead of that spirit of pride. He walks in the door with flowers and candy and a card. Now what happens? And what happens to pride? Okay. What if she did the same thing? What if she, you know, at work or whatever, and she says, "Oh, I want to get off a little early tonight, so I want to fix my husband's favorite meal." And she writes a card, a little note to him, a little letter to him. "Honey, I am so sorry. I apologize. Please forgive me. I love you so much." And she comes home and he finds his favorite meal, candles. Now what happens? And what happens to pride? What if they both did the same thing at the same time? He brings home flowers and candies and a card, and she brings home a good meal and fixes a good meal and writes a sweet letter to him. Now what happens? Take that, pride. Right. Take that. What do you think about that, pride? And the situation is reconciled. See, this is what Jesus is saying. It works, it works, it works, it works. It'll work every single time. When we use the wisdom of humility, it'll work. It works with him. "Yeah, but Deborah, I understand that. You know, that's my spouse. I'm supposed to do that with my spouse." But I'm talking about somebody that's like, you know, like an enemy. Really? You want me to go there? What did Jesus say you are to do to your enemies? Let's make sure everybody knows what Jesus said to do. This is the secret of humility. This is the secret. This is the secret of wisdom, of humility. The secret that is in humility. Let me read it to you. It's in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. No. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Okay. "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.'" See, that's what you just told me. Right? That's what you want to do. But here's the secret. Here's how to fix it. Here's what will make you great. "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be" what? "Sons of your Father in heaven." This is how we're supposed to live. If we're truly following Jesus and doing the teachings of Jesus Christ, this is what we do to avoid pride. And it's devastation in our life. It's disgrace in our life. It's destruction in our life. It's damage in our life. We do this. And it shows us that we are truly, if you can do this, you are truly a child and a son of God. And this will work whether it's your spouse or whether it's somebody that you're angry with or somebody who hates you or you hate, whatever. This works. It just reconciles us. Years back when I was in the corporate world, I was a supervisor, and I ran, at this particular time, I ran what was called the third shift. It was the midnight shift from 12 a.m. until 8 a.m. in the morning. I had a man who worked for me. His name is Billy, and he was his technical name was a mechanical technician. We called him a fixer, and if you've ever worked in a mill, you recognize fixer. He was a fixer. He worked for me. Well, we get off at 8, but it took me to 8:30 because of shift changing. It took me to 8:30 to get out the door and get in my truck and drive home. Well, this particular morning, I go out, I get in my truck, and I am so focused. We're building a home, And I wanted to get to that house, and I wanted to work on that house because I had to get to bed, and so I'd come back to work. So I was in a rush, and I get focused, and sometimes I get too focused, and I just miss what's going on. I was so focused, Billy said, I drove right by him, that his car would not crank. He was sitting there, and he was waving and shouting at me, and I just drove right by him. I, to this moment, do not remember Billy waving and shouting at me. But he said he did, so I know he did. So, come back to work that next night. I see Billy's car there. I'm thinking, why's Billy's car? What's wrong with Billy's car? Well, I wait till he comes in, and I ask him, and he is mad at me. I mean, he's got, like, vengeance in his eyes. I mean, he's angry with me. And he looks at me, and I said, what's wrong with your car, Billy? And he said, you know what's wrong with my car. You just drove right by me this morning. He was mean and mad at me. And I said, no, I don't. What happened? And he started telling me how he was waving at me and shouting at me, and I wouldn't stop. I just went right by him. And it really made him mad. And I said, well, why is it still there? I apologized to him, but it didn't help. I apologized to him. I said, why is your car still there? He said, well, I had to walk home. He said, that's all I really wanted from you, just give me a ride home. He said, I thought you'd at least give me a ride home. I wasn't going to ask you to fix my car. And I said, well, Billy, I'm sorry. I said, well, why is it still there? And he said, well, I got home. It was so late that I couldn't fix it. I didn't feel like fixing it. I was tired. And I said, well, I'll take you in the morning and we'll get your car fixed. And he says, no, he says, I don't have any money. He says, I can't fix it until payday. And I said, Billy, I got money. I said, let me take you in the morning. I said, we'll go. I said, are you going to exchange the starter? It was a starter. He said, yeah. I said, well, you go at 8 and you get the starter off and you meet me at my truck and I'll be down there about 8:30. And I says, and I'll take you and I'll get you a starter. So he did. He went out and he met me at the truck. I took him to the parts place. He exchanged. I paid. We drove back. And so he got out and he says, thank you. Thank you, Dale. He called me Dale. He said, thank you, Dale. And I said, I'll wait on you. I'll make sure you get it running. He said, you go on. I said, no, wait. It won't take you a bit that long. And he was a great fixer. And it didn't take him 5 or 10 minutes to put the starter on. He was on and cranked it up. So I said, okay, I'll see you later. He said, wait a minute. He cut it off, cut the car off. He walks around to where I'm at, and he's crying. And I'm, what? we're going to have a men's moment out here in the middle of the parking lot, So he's crying. And I'm looking, giving him that what's wrong look. And he says, Dale, he said, when you drove by me this morning, he said, I have always respected you. He says, but when you did that to me, I hated you. I walked all the way home cussing you. He said, I was wondering how in the world I ever thought so much of you to do me like that. Just drive right by me. I said, Billy, I said, you know I would never do that. And he said, well, I do now. And he says, I want to apologize for how I felt towards you. And I said, Billy, I'm the one that's wrong. I said, I apologize to you. And I said, just forgive me, man. Let's just go. We shook hands, I don't think we did any hugging thing in the parking lot, but we shook hands and I drove home as well. I've been asking Billy to come to church with me. And so he did. That Sunday, he comes to church. He'd been telling me, I'll come one day. Well, that Sunday, Billy was at church. And Judy and I, we sat on the second row, and Billy was sitting back there behind me somewhere. I saw him before church and spoke to him, and then Pastor Buren did the sermon, and he preached. And then Pastor Buren did something that he normally doesn't do. It was just the old altar call. If you don't know Jesus, come down, and I'll meet you down here. We'll pray the prayer and all this stuff. And so I'm thinking, why is he doing that? I didn't know at the time. I asked him later on, and he told me that Billy was back there bawling, just crying. He was so convicted. So he gave the altar call. Here comes Billy walking down the aisle. And I'm thinking, wow, now that's pretty cool. And he gave his life to Jesus Christ right there. How do you think I felt? How do you think I felt when Billy came to Jesus Christ? See, I felt great. And Jesus says, if you want to be great, if you want greatness in your life, serve people. Find a way to serve them. What do you think God thought about that? Do you think, oh boy, there's my boy Delbert. I think he did. Wow, he served. It works. And I just want you to know it works in every single situation that we find ourselves in. Jesus said this amazing statement in the Sermon on the Mount. We just read from it about love your neighbors. But he said this amazing thing. It's a beatitude. And it's one of the amazing things that Jesus says, a radical thing that Jesus says. Jesus is the most radical person you'll ever know. And here's what he says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. This is what Jesus says. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, what does that mean? Well, I certainly don't know everything that it means, but I do know this, that the meek's got something nobody else has got. I know this, that the meek get something. They inherit everything. They get it all. The meek know a secret that the rest of us don't know. See, when there's pride, there's a wrong spirit. There's an arrogant and a haughty spirit that comes up and opposes. But when we have a meekness about it, when there's a meekness, and when we understand this wisdom of humility, when we walk in this meekness, we get everything. We get whatever we want. I want to show you this word out of the Strong's Concordance. It wrote a lot about it, and I just had to condense it down. It gave so much, but it really wants us to understand meekness. Meekness is not weakness. We usually, when we think of meek, we think of somebody who's weak. No. You're thinking of somebody who's wise. Here's what it says. Meek is the Greek word pashos, and what it means is mildness of disposition, a gentleness of spirit. Gentleness or meekness is the opposite to self-assertiveness and self-interest. It's the polar opposite of the way the world thinks. The gentle person is not occupied with self at all because they're looking at the potentials of others. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. This is truly when the Holy Spirit is active and alive in your life. This is a work of the Holy Spirit, not of the human will. And I want you to see, nothing in there about weakness. What I want you to see is there is a wisdom in meekness, a wisdom in humility. What Jesus is telling us here is it will be those who understand the wisdom and the greatness of meekness and humility who get it all. The meek. Jesus is saying, you guys, come on. Listen to me. I want to tell you a secret. I got a secret for you. If you'll do this, you'll inherit everything. You'll get all you want. You'll get anything you want. You can inherit it all. But see, it's a secret. Shh. Don't tell anyone. It's a secret. Just people who follow Jesus know this. Jesus says, they got it going. They're going to get it all. We got it going. It was the night before the crucifixion. By this time, tomorrow, the next night, Jesus would be dead and in a tomb. He is in a room with his 12 guys, 13 of them. And they're experiencing what we call the Last Supper. They were in this room together. And in those days, the roads were really dirty and nasty. Animals all over the place. And no telling what you would step in or mud and the dust and so forth. And when you came into a place, into a residence, especially if you were going to eat, because they ate in a reclining position. They don't eat sitting at a table like we do. They would stretch out. And it was a long, long meal. They would stretch out and recline. They would have someone there to wash feet. It would be a slave person. But Jesus didn't want anybody there. He only wanted it to be the 13 of them, his 12 guys and himself. So they're having the meal and with dirty feet. And Jesus stands up and does something amazing. I want to read it to you. John chapter 13, verse 4 says this. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Now, I want you to see this. He's using his hands to wash feet. These hands were the hands that healed people from diseases. These were the hands that opened blinded eyes and healed crippled people. These were the hands that cast out demons from people. These are the hands that were laid on children and blessed children. These were the hands of God. The hands of the Christ, the Son of Man. These were his hands. He wasn't only the greatest one there. He is God there. He is the Son of God, and he's washing feet. And then after he had done it, he took the towel off, put his clothes back on, and then he said this. In verse 13, he says, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. And when he says this, you know, there's something important that we got to get there. There's a truth in there. There's a secret in there if we can get it. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. What he's saying here is if I can do it, you can do it. And I think that's the attitude we've got. If it was good enough for God, it's good enough for me. Now that you know these things, what things? Now that you know the secret of humility. Now that you know with humility comes wisdom. Now that you know this. Now that you know these things, he says this, you will be what? Blessed if you do them. Blessed is the meek. You're blessed if you do these things. It's a secret. And if you'll do them, you will be blessed. What do you want in your life? What do you want from God? What is it that you want that you haven't gotten yet? If you could do it with what the way you're doing it, then you would already have it and you wouldn't want it. But what do you want that you don't have? What do you want God to do in your life for you? And whatever you're doing is not working. Why don't you try humility? Why don't you try serving people? Find someone to serve and see what God will bless you with in your particular life. And what Jesus is telling us here, Jesus, he's not telling us here that we should go around washing each other's feet. He didn't say we need to add the ordinance of feet washing to the church services. That's not what he's telling here, because they didn't do it. If that had been what they were saying, and then the apostles would have added that ordinance, but they didn't. It's never even mentioned again. But they did talk about serving. They did teach people to serve, and they served one another. And they said, if you'll serve people, if you'll serve people, God will bless your life. And it'll destroy the spirit of humility. I mean, the spirit of pride that comes upon us, this haughty spirit. If you'll do it. How does it work? Why does it work? I'm hoping you're seeing it. I'm hoping you're learning the truth of what I'm attempting to share with you and tell you today. See, what it happens when you allow this humility to come into your life, it brings with us wisdom. And what it walks is walks us away from the spirit of pride and this haughtiness. We dodge the destructions of life. We dodge the disgrace of life. We dodge the damages of life. And we walk in a better life. We actually handle the spirit of humility. It does not handle us. It does not control us. You won't be yelling at police officers. You won't get a broken nose. You won't lose your job. You won't do dumb things. You handle it. You'll handle the power that it has to destroy your life, to disgrace your life, to damage your life. You will receive your inheritance. Everything God's got for you. Because you're a meek person and you're going to receive everything. Jesus gives us a radical example of this. He gives us an amazing radical example of humility and the wisdom that's in it. And it says in Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But when humility comes, then comes wisdom. But it's a secret. Don't tell anyone. Because it'll make you great. It'll make you great. Let me pray for us.